He lives. Oh, hallelujah. He lives. We're going to be off where we've been on Sunday evenings. If you'd like to go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 10, I want to believe the Lord to meet some needs in this place in the next few moments. I'm thankful that we have His Word to turn to. Amen. Lord willing, on Wednesday night, unless God leads a different direction, we'll be continuing the overcoming series that we began before we left. We talked about overcoming discouragement, and we'll be in that overcoming series, Lord willing, on Wednesday evening. So come and be refreshed midweek in the service with worship and word, fellowship with God's people. Very familiar story in Luke chapter 10. I'm not going to be expositing this story tonight or even dealing with the main reason it's in Scripture. I want to use it as an illustration, and I want to speak, though the real message is in the middle part, I want to speak of the first and the last part of this story. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word, Luke chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 30. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. By chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan," now I want to remind you before I finish reading this, this Samaritan should be whatever Christian aspires to be. But this good Samaritan is what the Savior is. This is a picture of the Savior. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, the man that fell among thieves. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee.'" In verse 30, when it was describing what happened to this man at the hand of thieves, it said a lot of things, but it said, if you'll notice towards the end of the verse, they wounded him. They wounded him. And then in verse 34, when it described what the good Samaritan did to the man who came upon ill times, it said he poured in the oil and the wine. Poured him right in the wounds. Hallelujah. We sing a song, "He poured in the oil and the wine." It's a kind that will satisfy, heal. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I want to preach tonight on help for the hurting. Help for the hurting. Father, thank you for what we've sensed in these services today. And I pray, God, that someone would leave here, many would leave here differently, God, having been touched, having had the oil and the wine poured in tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Help for the hurting. Every parent in the house will know what I'm talking about. There's nothing as painful as seeing one of your children get hurt, whether physically hurt, socially hurt. However, you know, just this year, one of our children, we were in a situation, an incident happened that we knew wounded and hurt our child very greatly. And I want you to know, as a father, it hurt me to see my child hurt. I want to tell you, God's a father too. And it hurts Him to see His children hurt. And I'm not just talking about His children in the sense of the believer and the born again. Because even though some have not come to Christ and been born again, by creation, they are God's children. And even though they may not yet be a believer and yet born again, amen, if they are hurt, it hurts God to see His children hurt. He doesn't like it. We're living in a time where many folks are hurt. You know, we want to limit that, you know, but I want to tell you, we can take one of these young teenagers and they know what it is to be hurt. Take one of these older teenagers. They know what it is to be hurt. We can take a father. Sister Rice that attended here with her children, they said she just had a stroke in church and wanted us to pray. Let's pause and pray together. Father, we pray right now that you would intervene and touch Sister Rice, Lord. I pray you would lay your hand upon her right now. God, reverse whatever's been done, oh God. Take away the pain. Be with her. Be with her family, Lord. Be with that church right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray as a church that you would hear our prayers. Touch your servant, Lord. Lay your hand upon her. In Jesus' name, Lord, do it tonight. Do it tonight in the name of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God doesn't like to see his people hurt. Child, teenager, father, mother, grandmother, grandfather. It doesn't matter. God doesn't like to see people get hurt. This was a man that was wounded, and the Good Samaritan took note. I want you to know, if you're in this house tonight and you've been wounded, you've been hurt, whatever the reason. In fact, I don't think the reason is important. I think getting help is important. Amen. Whatever the reason you've been hurt, God cares about that tonight. I want to talk briefly about hurting people, and then I want to talk about what the Good Samaritan does for hurting people. I want you to know, first of all, tonight that hurt people hurt. Hurt people, they really hurt. Amen. Several years ago, I had a real bad neck injury. I think I've told you before. I was a junior police watching an intersection in sixth grade. Some girls were coming up the sidewalk. I wanted to impress. I hung by my legs from the limb of a tree. When they walked by, I really impressed them. I slipped off the limb, fell on my head, ruined my neck. I mean, just reversed the curvature of my neck. I've suffered with it ever since. In recent years, I've done exercise. It's a lot better, but for years, I would suffer. It would hurt really bad. I couldn't hardly lift up my hand. This pain would shoot through my neck and my body. And my wife is real compassionate. We like to joke each other. And I go, you know how you do when you're hurt? I go, ah. And she go, does it really hurt that bad? How many has someone in your life like that? Ah, oh, does it really hurt that bad? Or she'd say, are you faking? Don't you like it when you're hurting and someone says, are you faking? You can't imagine her saying something like that. Let me tell you an aside to that story. Prophet right here. He said, you better quit making fun of me. It's going to happen to you. Sure enough, several years later, something happened. She had that horrible pain in her neck. Ah! I'd say, does it really hurt that bad? Are you faking? I want to tell you, hurt people, they really hurt. They're not faking. You may minimize what happened to them. You may say, shake it off, shrug it off, get over it. But I'm telling you, hurt people, they really hurt. However they've been hurt. Hurt people really hurt. You may not think it should hurt them. Whatever their loss, their difficulty, their pain, their trouble. But I want you to know, to them it hurts. They've been wounded. Secondly, I want you to notice tonight that hurt people get hurt. I mean, already being hurt, they get hurt more easily. You know, I'm learning to be more compassionate as I get older. But some people, I mean, you just joking. You say some little thing and they get their feelings all hurt. And I used to just, you know, really, you know, say, get over it. But I'm telling you, when you're already hurt, just the smallest of things can hurt you. We was in a crowd of people last week, and I noticed a woman. I don't know why my eyes caught it, but she was walking through the crowd and someone going the other way just barely brush. I mean, I could tell it was just a brush against her arm. And she went, ah. Oh my, you're dramatic. But when she got a little closer and turned, I saw a huge bruise right here on her elbow. So that little brush, it wouldn't have bothered me a bit. I probably wouldn't even noticed it. But since she was already hurt, that little brush up against her, it really hurt her. And I'm telling you, sometimes we say, well, people shouldn't be upset about that, or they shouldn't get hurt over that. But the reason they're getting hurt over that is because they're already hurt. I mean, we call it tender, you know. You know, if Brother Steve's arm or shoulder is tender, you know, if it's not tender, I can say, how you doing, Brother Steve? I hope it's not. How you doing, Brother Steve? But if that's tender, I go, how you doing, Brother? And he goes, ah! Because hurt people get hurt. And you may wonder at some people's activity and attitudes and response and rush to judgment. But hurt people get hurt. I want you to notice also that hurt people hurt themselves. You know, when people get hurt, they will do things that increase their pain. They've been hurt by somebody. And so they say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm just not going to get close to anybody anymore. They hurt themselves further. Because they've been hurt, they choose to do things. Have you ever heard the expression, cut off your nose in spite of your face? I can't tell you how many times I heard my mother say that, but you know, people, they're already hurt, and you wonder why they're doing it, but they make further decisions that only hurt themselves. Things like bitterness. They're, you know, holding bitterness in. You just hurt yourself further. Hurt people. Hurt. It's kind of like that fellow, you know, at the subway. He'd always be there every morning to get on the subway to go to work, and there'd be one friend with him. And then a third friend would come up every morning, get to talking, whatever, about politics or whatever. He was one of those know-it-all fellows, and he'd punch that guy in the chest as he talked to him. I'm telling you what, ever know someone like that? You keep backing up and they keep following you. I mean, he was just right there in the chest. Is that getting to you yet? I mean, he'd just let him have it. He'd walk away, and the first man that was being punched in the chest, he'd say to the second, I can't stand that. I can't stand that. Well, one morning before the third friend got there, the first one there that was being poked in the chest, he had a jacket on. He said, I'm going to show him this morning. And the second friend said, you're going to show him? Yeah, I'm going to show him this morning. What are you going to do? He opened up his jacket, and he had a vest of dynamite on. He said, I've got this rigged that when he pokes me in the chest this morning, it's going to blow his finger off. Hurt people hurt themselves. Even you wonder why they do that. They isolate themselves. They, you know, folks try to get close to them and they refuse to be apart. They just hurt themselves further. And you may not understand that, but the reason they're hurting themselves is because they're already hurt. And then I want to call your attention to the fact that hurt people hurt others. Hurt people hurt others. I'm not going to minimize this, but my parents had a dog for several years, just the nicest, friendliest dog you'd ever seen, and they really loved it. My mom was talking again about what happened. They live on a highway, a very busy road, just traffic continually. And my mother had left the backyard and somehow didn't put that little clasp down on the gate. The dog never got out, but that morning it got out, and she was up there in the front yard, and all of a sudden there was a screech. And she looked up in time to see this car hit the dog. And the dog was still alive, and she's screaming for my dad. Well, she went over. She's telling me she went over to pull it out of the street, try to carry it out of the street. And when she reached down to try to carry that dog that had been so kind and so friendly, reached around and bit her right on the hand. It wasn't being mean, being mean to be mean. It was hurt. And being hurt, it hurt someone it loved. That's the way it is. We are as people. When we're hurting, we hurt others. The man was wounded. I believe I'm preaching this tonight because there's folks in the house that have been wounded. It hurts. And all of these other things are happening. Hurt people. You're not only hurting, but you get hurt by the smallest things. You hurt yourself. You hurt those that you love. Hurt those you don't really even mean to sometimes. But you hurt those that you care about. You know, we're living in a time when people try to take away a personal responsibility. And they try to explain everybody's bad behavior. I'm not doing that tonight. I'm not saying if you've been hurt, that's an excuse. I'm just saying it explains, amen, what's happening in your life. If you've been wounded, I'm not saying you need to develop a victim mentality. I'm saying you need to recognize being wounded. There is healing. There is victory. There is help for your hurt. If you're hurt, it's not an occasion to get sympathy. If you're hurt, it's an occasion to get help. I do believe tonight there is help for the hurting. You may be wounded, but there's a good Samaritan walking down your road. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And then at the end here, I want you to look at the Samaritan's response, what he did in verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, he came where this one that had been wounded was. And the scripture says, when he saw him, hallelujah, I'm telling you, the good Samaritan sees you and your wound. Hallelujah. How many knows he sees? And he said, not only did he see, but he was moved with compassion. You may feel like no one cares, no one understands, no one sees your wound. But I'm telling you tonight, there is a good Samaritan, and he has seen your wound, and he has been moved with compassion. Hallelujah. And then I want you to notice, not only did he see and have compassion, but verse 34, he went to him. He went to him. Oh, hallelujah. The man was too wounded to get back up on the road to the good Samaritan. But the good Samaritan went to where the wounded man was. Amen. We have that kind of God. When you cannot get to where he is, he'll come to you. Hallelujah. You may be wounded tonight, but I'm telling you, there is a good Samaritan. If you'll allow him, if you'll open up your heart to him, he will come to you. Glory to God. It'll make a difference when he comes. Not only did he come to the wounded man, but the scripture said he bound up his wounds. He bound up his wounds. That thing that hurt him, he started taking care of it. The Bible said he bound it up. Amen. And he poured in the oil and the wine. Glory to God. I'm telling you, that wound was still there. That wound was not immediately healed. But I'm telling you, the oil and the wine has been poured in, and the bandage has been put on. That thing that will heal him has been applied. I know sometimes it seems we make it a little too uncomplex, and we say, well, you know, you got all kinds of wounds, but in a moment God will heal them, and he can and he may. But there are wounds that go deep, and you may pray tonight and still realize that you're wounded, but there's something that you can know. If you'll let him do it, he'll apply the oil and the wine, and the wound may still be there, but he's made the application that's going to heal you. You walk with him. You let him work in your life. You talk with him. Hallelujah. He'll apply the oil and the wine, and you will be healed. There'll be a day you'll stand and say, I was wounded, but he poured in the oil and the wine, and I am healed. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And then he picked him up. Said he set him on his own beast. I'm telling you, to get him on his beast, he had to pick him up. How many knows the Lord can pick you up wherever you've fallen, wherever you're at? The psalmist said, I was in a horrible pit, but he lifted me out. How many remembers the day when he reached down his hand for you? Oh, hallelujah. put him on that beast. Not only did he pick him up, but he took him out of that place. He put him on that beast to get him away from that place that he had been wounded, that place where he had been abused, that place that he had been ill-treated. He put him on that beast and just took him out of that place. Hallelujah. He carried him out on his beast. Got him out of there. Hallelujah. You can be in situations where you are wounded and re-wounded, hurt and re-hurt. But we serve a God that knows how to carry you out of that situation. Glory to God. When he was carrying the man, when his beast was carrying the man, when he was carrying the man, he was carrying the wound too. Aren't you glad for the man of sorrows? Hallelujah. The Lord, he's put upon him all of our sorrows, all of our troubles. Not only did he take him out of that place, but he brought him to a place of healing. He brought him to an inn and took care of him there. There amongst the rocks, there in the wilderness, without the necessity, there was no way to heal that man. So he carried him out and brought him to a place of healing. I want you to know, you may be wounded tonight, but there is a place of healing. There is a place in God. There is a place of refuge. There is a place of a rock that is higher than you are. You may have been wounded and wounded deeply, but I'm telling you, there is a place of healing, and he'll bring you to that place where you can be healed. I don't know how you feel. I feel like this church is a place of healing. If you're wounded and you want to be healed, this is a place where God can minister to you and care for you and heal that wound of your life. Hallelujah. And I've got to mention, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Could I tell you, he paid the price for the man's healing. Oh, paid the price for the man's convalescing and therapy and treatment. Hallelujah. How many believes he's paid the price that we can be healed? Don't you know he's done it? He paid the price, said this ought to do it. This ought to take care of it. And I'm telling you, when Jesus paid the price, he said this ought to do it. This ought to take care of it. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he paid the price. I'm not trying to not do the parable justice. It's making another point. But I can't help noticing, he said, when I come again, if there was any more than that, I'll take care of it too. Hallelujah. If you're not completely healed of every wound, keep in mind he is coming again. And when he comes again, he'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you hurt tonight? Have you been wounded? Don't use that for an excuse anymore. Amen. I know it hurts. I'm not minimizing that. But realize there is a healing. Hallelujah. He can make you whole and complete in him. Would you come, music, tonight? Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands and thank him that he's been the good Samaritan. Could you praise him? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 God, minister to someone tonight. Someone that's tired of hurting. Tired of hurting. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it doesn't matter who someone is. If you understand that they're hurt, that makes all the difference. I read recently a story about one of the world wars. One of the soldiers from Scotland had been tremendously wounded. They finally got him to the hospital back there in Great Britain. And as they were trying to deal with his wounds and help him recover, They noticed that every day he held a German, that was the enemy, a German's helmet. And he had stroked that helmet every day. And the nurse, she walked up and she drew the wrong conclusion. She said, "Oh, you must have killed your German, did you?" He said, "Oh no, you don't understand." He said, "I was terribly wounded, lying on the ground on the battlefield, but I heard the groans of another man horribly wounded. And I looked, and there was a German soldier, my enemy, that was wounded." He said, "I was wounded in a way and in a place I couldn't tend my own wounds. And he was wounded in a way he could not tend his own wounds." He said, "The Scot said, so I crawled. Took me a long time, but I crawled over to the bleeding German. And I got the bandages, and I bound up his wounds, my enemy. When I got done, he took the bandages, and he bound up my wounds." He said, "He spoke German, I spoke English. We couldn't talk to each other. I was trying to thank him, and trying to make him know that I was grateful for his help. He just took his helmet and handed it to me as a gift. And I took off my cap and handed it to him." He said, "So I'm stroking this helmet, because though he were my enemy, he bound up my wounds." I'm telling you, we're people, whether in a family or within the church, we have differences. We don't see things just the same way. We might even hurt one another. But I'm telling you, if we really realized how our brother or sister was hurt, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter. All we care about is binding up their wound. Hallelujah. And having our wounds bound up. Hallelujah. That's what's important, that the wound is healed. All that other stuff, that's unimportant. What's important is that the wound is healed. I don't know why I've preached this tonight. I've left that to the Lord. But would you stand across the building? And I just want to give an altar call tonight. You would be honest. And you said, "I'm hurt. I'm hurting. And I'm tired of hurting myself. I'm tired of hurting those I love because I hurt. I want the Good Samaritan to pour in the oil and the wine." Amen. If you just be real honest tonight, you say, "Oh, I hurt." Let's pray across the building. And as we pray, if you'd say, "I've been wounded, I hurt, and I'm tired of it." Amen. Would you just begin to come and say, Oh Lord, I need you to pour in the oil and the wine. I need you to apply the bandage. Hallelujah. Would you come? I'm hurt. I've been hurt. I don't like being hurt. I know there's others tonight. Amen. It doesn't matter if you're a teenager or an adult. Amen. Would you come and say, "Oh, I'm tired of hurting." Maybe you're a mom, a dad. Amen. There's no age limit onto this. God doesn't like to see his children hurt. He doesn't like that. Amen. Amen. You shouldn't be thinking right now, "Amen, will so-and-so hurt me?" You should be thinking, "Oh God, heal them of their hurts as you heal me of my hurts. Heal me of the wound. Oh God, only you know how bad that it hurts. But there is a place of healing. You will pour in the oil and the wine." Hallelujah, as these are coming, I wonder if there's some good Samaritans out there. Amen. Don't pass these by. Amen. Come to them and pray with them and say, "Oh God, help them tonight. Pour in the oil and the wine." I believe there's others that need to come. Don't suffer your hurt. Amen. There is a healing. He hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. Make sure everyone is prayed for tonight.